Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
But it's time for me to put my feet up as we do this.
Jen's friends.
Just friends.
There we go. It's time for Jen's friends. This is where I get two of my bestest friends in to the studio to chat about the things that got you going during the week and see what they think of it and get their take on it. And you get to meet my very, very, very good friends. Isn't that right, David O'Reilly and Shane Clifford?
Yeah, we're best friends. We've known each other for years. We didn't just meet 5 minutes ago.
Not at all. Not at all. You're not in here solely because you have gigs to promote.
Exactly.
At all. None of that is going on.
It's all natural.
No, this is completely organic.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome to the show. Now, I need to talk about setting the table, first of all, right? Because yesterday we were talking about family dinners and whether it was a big deal to have a sit-down meal with the family. David, what was the setup in your house when you were young?
Well, it was very regimented, you know. It was very kind of, do not leave that table till you've eaten every last molecule of food that's on that plate.
Yeah, I think we're all force-fed.
And I definitely think that contributed to my clinical obesity now. I really do. And, you know, it's extraordinary because it's amazing how it evolves from your grandparents onwards. And I was saying yesterday then, we kind of got a little bit looser as we got a bit older. And now, if I'm in the same room as anybody eating, I can't sit there because I hate the noise of people eating. You know, the chomping and the chewing. I hate it. So I literally can't be around anyone now. So even at a restaurant, there has to be white noise or background noise to wail out the chomping. I was teaching the other day and we're giving our Haribos for sweets for Halloween. And this child, oh my God, I won't say his name. Darling, can you stop please? It was awful. So
that is a thing. Can you look that up? Is that has to be some kind of phobia?
Graham's
the same.
It's called misphonia.
Misphonia.
Yeah. It's a fear of sounds of eating.
Is it really?
Yeah. I swear to God.
Graham, you're fired. You're too slow.
And
we have Shane.
Does
now.
That include slur? You know when someone goes
slurping
on a tea.
Misphonia.
Misphonia. Yeah, I think so. I could be completely wrong.
Graham, look it
Graham,
up.
Look,
he's right.
I'm right.
You're right.
I know. I used to work with a guy who used to eat sandwiches and like you can hear him mashing
misphonia,
through his teeth.
Also called selective sound sensitivity syndrome, is a condition in which certain sounds trigger an outburst marked by irritation. Is this, am I
very
ringing
much
through?
So, yeah.
Anger or aggression. You didn't hit that child, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, that's not funny. People with misphonia react in an extreme and often emotional way to certain trigger sounds. So that is a thing. Maybe you need to go and talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, I'll add it to the list.
What about you, Shane? Were you a table set kind of a family?
Well, we were kind of similar in that I was forced to eat all sorts of horrible things when I was young, like liver and tripe.
Do you remember liver?
Yeah, lamb's liver. My mother used to make it. Even though I hated it, I still ate it. And we sat down. And my fiance was the opposite. If she didn't want to eat something, her mother would take it off and make something else, right? You know what I mean? And
she's not Irish, obviously.
She is Irish.
Stop it!
And she'd make three separate dinners for the sisters, the brother. And now, as we're this age, I will eat anything. And my fiance is the pickiest eater.
Oh, really?
I read a phrase
that picky eaters are a burden. If you're a picky eater as an adult, you're a burden on everyone you love. And it is completely
that's
true.
Oh, that's your fiance. You can't
say that. She's such a burden. When we try and go out for dinner, it is a nightmare. She won't eat anything. She's looking through the chicken because there might be a small pink bit in it. I'm like, it's fine. We got a burger the other day and she was like, it's pink. I was like, it's supposed to be pink. It's medium. Mm. But she could not eat
it.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas I will eat anything, which probably is a bad thing as well.
So you said fiance. So there is a wedding on the cards down the line,
down the line, yes.
So that's going to be a nightmare, by the way. When you decide to do that day and you're picking the food and you go for the menu tasting, all that.
Oh, yeah. We've set through. It's been put off so much now because of the menu. She wanted barbecue.
Not the pandemic or anything.
Or the guest list. It's the menu.
Or me getting cold feet. It's the menu.
This is your fault.
That's what I'm blaming it on anyway.
This is all about the menu.
And one time when I was young, the only time I can remember sitting down, I've getting flashbacks of it, to eat my dinner when I was about 15. And I was sitting down. My mother took it upon herself one summer day to start explaining the birds and the bees to me during my dinner when I was about 15. And I'd been out playing tennis all day. This is what I say happened. I was out playing tennis all day. I didn't drink any water. My mother started talking to me about birds and the bees at the dinner table. And I fainted practically. I really lost consciousness for a few seconds.
Did you pretend to faint? Or
no,
did you
no.
Really
it was
fainted?
Just such a big
moment
in my life. Plus, I was 16. I pretty much knew
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And you didn't want to hear your mom saying it.
No, Christ, no.
Oh, what
no,
was the dinner why? On the table?
Oh, it was probably, I don't know, spaghetti bolognese with carrots in it or something, you know?
Yeah, boiled carrots. Cut in a circle. Cut in a circle.
David, it says here that your mom spiked your burger.
Yeah, listen, and I asked her for permission to say this on air because I was worried she might come for me to say. So when I was younger, you know, I was actually surprisingly a little bit fussy with food. And as a practicing homosexual, I don't eat fish. So there was many different things that I didn't have. So I was
homosexuals don't eat fish.
No, look it up.
Oh wow!
And one day she was cooking me a burger. And I had a very specific way. Actually, maybe I'm a little bit like maybe I am his fiance.
Oh, wow, here we go.
And she was cooking me a burger, and that's all I was having was a burger. And I bit into the burger, and I thought, no, this tastes funny. Mom, what have you put on this? I'm 9 years old. And she was like, nothing. I knew she's a very bad liar. And then she started laughing. She had put do you remember the little small black Chinese herbs that were good for your immune system? Like, she was a health freak then, like, wet, you know, full leather on it. And they are the size of a little speck of dust.
Mm.
And she put three of them on the burger, hoping that I wouldn't know that she'd put it on the burger. And I did. And it's awful. Imagine being spiked by your mother.
I spike my children, I think. I hide stuff in food.
What do you hide in?
I hide broccoli and mash. I hide it in bits. I wouldn't do the Chinese spice thing. That's a very
that
distinctive
is very
taste.
Strange.
I'm very strange.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, Elizabeth O'Reilly. Yeah, everyone got that, Elizabeth O'Reilly.
He's still alive. He's still, you know, going strong. So we can cancel that call to social services on Elizabeth. But yeah, I think as a parent, we do that because children can be a pain in the hole and won't eat certain things. And apparently our job is to make them eat all different kinds of stuff.
What, like, but for what reason?
Vegetables,
like,
hiding vegetables in various dishes.
Well, you not just give them the vegetables they like, or make them like put a bit of honey and sugar on their vegetables.
That's,
you know,
what defeats the purpose.
Okay,
defeats the purpose. We were talking about a lady who skipped all the wash up at mealtime. By she didn't use plates, she didn't use cutlery. She just covered the table in tin foil, lobbed the dinner on the table, and they ate like pigs out of a trough, I would say. They just kind of lamped it into them. No, just using their hand. Would that tempt you?
Yes, that is a genius idea. I've often thought about getting just paper plates and just throwing them away. Because the thing that happens in my house when it's my turn to do the dishes is that instead of doing them, I have this technique that I learned in I saw a guy doing it in an Airbnb I was staying in. You get a dish cloth, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I don't even know the names
dish
of the cloth stuff.
Yeah.
And you just put it over the sink and hide the wear underneath.
Right.
And you just leave that for a few days. And then your fiancé will probably do it
that
instead.
That is genius. So you just dump all the washing into the sink and
hide
just
it.
Cover it until it starts to smell or
And until somebody else does it. That's my technique.
Okay.
Yeah.
But people have started to, I was talking about those posh parties now that people have, you know, where they do like mezze grazing boards, you know, where they, so if you have an island in your kitchen, say, and they cover it, every inch of that space is covered in grapes and cheese and crisps
and crackers and stuff, everything. Yeah.
But my problem is, you know that story about the bowl of peanuts at a party? You never go and eat the bowl of peanuts at a party because you can guarantee that someone's pee-pee hands has been all over them. That is like a giant board of pee-pee hand realness that people are coming in, touching it. Never mind coronavirus. Like, we're talking about antibacterial.
Someone's wee.
Wee-wee.
Urine.
Poo-poo fecal matter.
And if kids are touching that food.
No, get away. I mean, honestly, so no thanks. If mine doesn't come in a container, I don't want it. Thanks very much.
Imagine. I think you're onto something. Yeah, I think you're right. Can we stop with those big... Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them on Instagram and they just cover the whole island with food.
And they try and call it like a charcuterie board and I'm like, you can call it whatever you like, love. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
When I was in Bangkok, I ate chicken on the docks, fried chicken that I got in the docks in Bangkok. And I was in hospital for 2 weeks with dysentery.
Dysentery. Dysentery, I love that.
Dysentery, yeah, I got dysentery.
Served you right.
Yes, and served I lost about right. 2 stone.
Speaking about being disgusting, let's talk about hygiene. Because on Wednesday, we spoke about hygiene after I heard about a man who went 50 years without a wash. You see him, he was on all over the news. He got to, well, he got to like 94 or something, had a wash and died.
I mean, I really feel like we shouldn't underestimate the actual severity of the situation. I mean, the man could have grown potatoes from his belly button at that point. It is outrageous. I mean, the problem is, which I find, I mean, I'm built like a Nissan Micra. I'm a big old unit. So I do get paranoid about smells, you know, because people think, oh, walk down the stairs, I instantly smell like a roast dinner. So I overcompensate with smells.
Oh, he's showing me all the smells in the bag. All the bag.
I list. So if someone's not getting sick on my cologne or deodorant or perfume, I've not done my job properly. So I'm the other scale of the spectrum.
Would you wash every day?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'd even have to wash two, depending twice on what physical okay. activities I've endured.
Well, this is true. This is true. I mean, everybody's the same. But I think this lad who lived in a cave and didn't wash for 50 years, like, he lived till into his 90s.
Well, they say in the Victorian times, before people used to bath every day, that you have certain bacteria on you that is good for you.
Yep.
So that's why I don't bath every week. No, I do. But like, I'm the worst for, not the worst for hygiene, but I'm not the best. Like my fiance.
She washes me.
She told me that I should put on clothes today, what clothes to wear. And I was like, it's on the radio. It doesn't matter.
It does matter. It matters to me, Shane.
She got me to put on deodorant.
In a small confined space.
Because you know those comedians. Yeah, I'm telling you. Known. You've worked with them. Like, yeah, I'm telling you, I've worked with them. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they need a good scrub. But I think he was onto something. I think you're right about the natural oils. And I don't know if this still happens, but I think I tried to do it with my two kids for a while. I'm the youngest of six and we used to share a bath. Mm. Like, I'm down way down the end of that line, lads, you know? So now I have this thing. I'm a bit like yourself, David. Like, I'm super clean and a bit anal about stuff like that. And everything has to be pristine. And I have to go see someone and talk to someone about that too.
Yeah, I'll bring you.
I remember one time, my house was so messy when I was younger, before I met my fiance, it got broken into. And they took my PlayStation. That was the only thing they touched. And I rang the guards and the detective came and he came into the house and he went, "My God, they really made a mess in here, didn't they? They really destroyed the place." So I had to pretend. I was like, "Yeah, they did." And they didn't flush the toilet after themselves either, you know.
Disgusting, disgusting. Anti-depression medication is a lifesaver. We know that. But how has it made you boat mingers?
Oh, well, I sweat like a pig in a... church. I'm not good with phrases.
Big in a church.
Yeah.
It makes you sweat, does it?
Oh, man. It's the weirdest side effect.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the main side effect of them is I'm still alive. That's the best one. But the other ones, like the sweat, I sweat like constantly. And it's really embarrassing. I wish I could just wear science and I'm on antidepressants. It's not like, I'm not.
It's not you.
A dirty man. It's my pills that I've been on for 7 years. It's mad. It could be a cold day and there is sweat in my eyes. I can't even walk down the street. Yeah. And I don't know why they put the side effects in them in the first place. Stupid.
Like
thing.
The menopause.
Basically, yeah. It's the menopause. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. And I think the whole thing of is it, you know, even if I did put on the t-shirt saying I'm taking antidepressants, yeah, they'd still be like, "No, you're not. You're just fat." Literally, that's the problem I am dealing with, you know, because I'm getting it on all cylinders, you know what I mean? Literally all cylinders, like a walking fountain sometimes. So that's why I overcompensate.
Okay.
You know? I have to.
Can I just say you both smell lovely?
Oh, thank you very
you
much.
You too.
Thank you.
Congrats to my fiance for that.
Yeah. Does the fiance have a name?
Oh, yes, Kira.
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 Hi, Kira. And how long have you been with Kira?
14 years.
Jumps. Oh. What?
Yeah.
That is like a whole segment in itself.
14 years. I was a manager in a supermarket and I was her boss.
How many years have you been engaged?
Since just after the pandemic started, yeah.
Okay. Oh. So newly engaged.
Newly engaged.
Was she shocked?
Well, it would sort be after like, 10 years, wouldn't
was
you?
Was it one of those like, oh, about time?
Yeah. It was a kind of an about time kind of vibe. You better start doing it pretty soon. And so, you know, I got the message after about 4 years and I got her a ring. and you know.
Oh, I can't got wait down to go knee. To that wedding.
Oh yeah, you're the maid of honor. Sure, we're best buds.
I'm me and Kira. We're like that. Let's talk about hens and stags, because early in the week we got calls and texts about the best and worst things about stag and hen do's. Shane, as a comedian, which is worse to see in the crowd? Is it a stag or is it a hen? Can I put my money on a hen?
You go for it.
I put my money on
a hen. Oh yeah, 1,000,000%. So I've done gigs on Saturday nights and it is guaranteed you're going to get either one or the other. And I much prefer stag do's because hens, they just seem to... I did a gig recently and there was two separate hen parties in the show on a Saturday night. And I just set up a joke by saying, I'm not really good with girls. And then one of the bridesmaid from one of the hens was like, yeah, we can tell. Right, just heckled me like that. And then the other bridesmaid from the other hen party started going, yeah, you go, girl, and all this stuff. The two of them ganged up on me. They didn't even know each other.
Bullied
by two of them.
Two hen parties.
It was a sad moment in my life.
How does heckling, I don't know how you do it or why you do it to yourself, but heckling.
Yeah.
Do you kind of brush it off that night? Does it take you a while to get over
I've never got one going like, oh, you're terrible. But mostly it's drunk people. And I have a technique for hecklers. Mostly it's a drunk person will shout something out that makes no sense. So if you repeat what they say back to them really slowly, like they're stupid, the crowd laughs every single time.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, that is genius. That's a good tip. David, you have to tell me about these stag do's.
Well, you see, stag do's, in the gay world, it's the worst of both. Hen parties and stag parties mixed into one melting pot of awfulness. And I have been unfortunate enough to have gone to a couple of friends' stag parties over the years. One in particular we had at someone's house. First of all, why would you ever have a stag party at someone's house? It's just so limiting. Everyone's uncomfortable. No one wants to touch anything. Stop that right now. Don't have stag parties in your house. It's awful. Anyway, they ordered a stripper. On the website, he looked absolutely fantastic. I mean, let me tell you, absolutely glorious. And he arrived, and all I can say is that, you know when you get a lovely Christmas present and it's all wrapped up in gorgeous wrapping paper and then you unwrap it and it's soap? That was literally what it was. The man turned up. It wasn't the man who was booked on the website. It definitely wasn't a man. And he was in oiling up, shall we say.
Right.
And propositioned the maid of honour.
Oh.
Who got very upset. I said, you should have told me. I would have gone into him and spoken to him.
And you're in a...
Hey. In the house, he was in her mother's study.
No!
Oiling up, yes.
Oh, there's all kinds of wrong. Stop doing that. That was the thing we did in the 80s. Stop doing that.
Yeah, we're still in 2020. That was 2028.
I don't know what year. I don't know what day it is.
But can you imagine?
No.
Booking something that you think is going to be like an Adonis and it comes through and, well, I mean, I was going
so
to...
So disappointing.
Awful. Awful, awful, okay. Awful.
So enough. So stand do's, just don't do them. And stand don't do them in the house.
Don't do them. Don't do them in your house. It's lazy. And if my friends are listening, and if I mean, I can't even get a handshake at the moment, never mind a fiance or a partner, but if I do end up getting engaged, please don't organise one at your house because I won't go. And please organise it that if you do organise a stripper, it needs to be Paul Mescal.
I'll do it.
He will never do it. He doesn't like being objectified.
No, he does. I spoke to him. He's fine with
okay,
it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'd say spoke to him. I chased him down the tube at Leicester Square screaming his name and he quickly ran away. But I still like to claim that I spoke to him.
Did you really meet him in Leicester Square?
No, I didn't. But my brother did fit him. My brother did fit him as Stella McCartney for his BAFTAs outfit.
Stop it.
Yeah, my brother works for Stella McCartney.
Sorry, what? Well, okay. Well, you stay right there because I need more info on your brother. Lads, thank you so much for coming in and being my friends this week. Always a pleasure. You look lovely. You smell lovely.
Thank you very much. You talk lovely.
Everything is lovely. Shane Clifford and David O'Reilly. Shane, this is the big question now. Don't get this wrong. Are you gigging?
I'm gigging. All right. So I have two shows coming up in my tour. The first one is on November the 4th in Clannachilty in the Barras.
Well done.
And the second one is in the Town Hall in Galway on December the 1st. And you can get tickets on brilliantshane.com.
Is Kira going?
Oh God, no. She never comes. No, she came once, never again.
She's like, no. And David, what's the crack? What are you up to?
I can exclusively reveal
today
that I am joining the next series of Bridgerton.
Oh, wow.
I'm only joking, I'm not. Gosh. The Christmas film. The Christmas film.
Yes, the Christmas
is
film.
Christmas on Mistletoe Farm. It's called, it's out on the 23rd of November on Netflix globally. I just seen the trailer this morning. I cried. It's fantastic. We love it. Please watch it. Because if you watch it, they'll make more and I can pay my bills. Thanks.
There we go. You've heard it here first. Shane Clifford and David O'Reilly, thank you so much.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.